You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. Happy Monday from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Cody Rourke, your host, as always, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos and like us on Facebook as well. I'm joined today by my good friend Zach Seegers and Patrick Chiodi of Broncos Pro Football Network, and we are breaking down the Broncos' final 53-man roster. Roster cuts occurred over the weekend. Some surprising cuts, and obviously it's going to formulate the practice squad as well, because we are officially in game week, folks. The NFL season is here. We've been building up all offseason long for this right here. So we're going to preview a couple of storylines in Broncos country, as well as react to the Denver Broncos 53-man active roster. Gentlemen, how you doing today? Zach, very excited to have you here. Patrick, obviously great to have you guys here as well. How are you today?
I'm doing great. You know, just getting ready for the season. You know, just keeps getting closer. And now we finally got that roster. Excited with some of the players that surprisingly made it. Disappointed with some of those that surprisingly didn't. But I think it's great. We finally got that roster, and it feels like it's finally here now.
I'm right there in the same train as Zach. You know, there were some moves that were made that were a little surprising, some that were sad, but a couple that made me really happy. This is a good looking roster. It's a good looking team, and I'm excited for week one against Tennessee, man. That's going to be the ultimate test for this young nucleus. So really excited to see that.
Surprise was the theme of the weekend. We saw a surprise last week on Friday. The Broncos, we talked about it. They released Todd Davis. That right there, I think for a lot of us, was really just kind of out of left field. The Broncos save $4.5 million on there, and they might be doing something with their cap space to give them some more cap flexibility going into 2021, considering there may be a cap floor overall there. But that's another story for another day. But one of the biggest surprises on Saturday, when roster cuts were happening, the Broncos waived cornerback Devontae Bosby. And that was a surprise, I think, for all of us, because he was the favorite in discussions based on practice at the cornerback three position for this Broncos team. And luckily, the Broncos were able to claim him on the practice squad. But let's talk about some of the 53-man roster moves overall for the Broncos here in 2020. And gentlemen, you know, I think we were kind of spot on, and for the most part, on our offensive projections that we did last week. The Broncos, they're carrying 7 wide receivers on the roster. We were all accurate on that. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, Tyree Cleveland, KJ Hamler, Deshaun Hamilton, and Deontay Spencer as the kick return, punt return option there at the wide receiver 7 position there. 2 quarterbacks, Drew Lock, Jeff Driscoll. Running back, you got your 3 guys with Phillip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon, Royce Freeman. So Levante Bellamy, Brett Rippon were cut. But they are also brought back on the practice squad as well. We'll go over the practice squad roster here in a moment. Offensive line, Garrett Bowles, Calvin Anderson at tackle, Dalton Reisner and Atani Muti at guard. Center, you got Lloyd Cushenberry, Schlottman. Right guard, Graham Glasgow, Schlottman. Right tackle, Wilkinson, Dotson. And then tight end, the Broncos have 5 essentially. Noah Fant, Nick Vinette, Albert Okwuegbunam. Andrew Beck is the fullback tight end hybrid, but obviously I think the feel-good story, gentlemen, let's talk about some Jake Butt here for a moment. He's made it, and he said there's no reason to celebrate now. There's still a lot of work to do, but for him, seeing where he was at to where he's at now, to where he eventually may be, he's going to have a big role in this Broncos offense. Zach, you know, what were your thoughts on Jake Butt making the roster?
I think it's fantastic. You know, Drew Lock had the quote that kind of, I don't know, went around a good bit, where he was saying that everyone in the locker room is rooting for Jake, but there's no one that everyone loves more. And I think that kind of also goes beyond to the Denver sports fan community. I think most people were really rooting for Jake Butt, wanted to see him on this roster. People have been rooting for him ever since the Broncos drafted him in the 5th round or whatnot. Because if he's able to stay healthy and put it together, he's at least the 3rd best tight end on this roster. You know, I think you could argue he's the 2nd ahead of Albert Okwuegbunam, because he's more well-rounded. So it's a huge get for the Broncos if he can stay healthy. And if he, you know, not only stay healthy, but if those injuries he suffered over the years hasn't robbed too much from his game. But he looked good in camp. He looked good in the scrimmage I saw him in. I think he's a blocking guy that also provides them with a good bit of a receiving upside, which they don't really currently have a do everything tight end. So I think it's great, and I hope he sees the field a good bit this year.
Yeah, it's really the feel good story of camp. You know, here's a guy, and we talked about it many times before, really just has to prove that he can stay healthy through camp. And he was out there making plays during camp, and that's the biggest thing. It was a little bit shocking to me to see the five tight ends on the roster, just because, you know, normally Shermer keeps four, doesn't really use a fullback all that much. And I kind of alluded to it in my analysis of the final roster on PFN was, maybe this is a security blanket in case something does happen to Jake Butt. You know, they're just playing it safe, keeping Beck around because he does have that versatility as the fullback as well. They didn't go, you know, he didn't use a fullback in his offensive formations a lot. And I assume that when they do, he will be in that role. But just having him on the roster does give them a blanket in case something happens to Jake Butt or any of the other tight ends, not just singling out Jake Butt. But I'm really excited to see what Jake can do in this offense. I'm really excited to see what he can bring to the field, because in the games that he did play, he was very effective at moving the chains. And that's really the type of guy that this offense will need him to be. We're not going to ask him to be the next Gronk. We're not going to ask him to be the next Travis Kelce. We're going to just ask him, do your job, make it simple, catch the ball, you know, on the crucial third downs, move the sticks as much as possible, and everything will pay off in the end. But I'm really excited to see him on the final roster, and I'm really excited to see his relationship with Drew Lock as well.
I think one of the things that Jake Butt can contribute to the Broncos offensively, you know, not only just a tight end, but also playing that fullback role here for the Broncos, that's been something that's been talked about as well. My thought process when I look at the roster, I see the five tight ends, because I honestly, in my roster projection, I didn't have Beck making the team, because I was thinking from it, how often are they going to really use a fullback when they could use that roster spot for potentially something else? I imagined originally they're going to carry 25 players on offense, 25 on defense, and then your three on special teams. They're actually carrying 26 players on offense, 24 on defense, and then three special teams players all across the board there. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. Part of me is wondering, how can the Broncos get all of these guys involved, right? Especially when you have five tight end-like players there. You know, I think if the Broncos go 12 personnel, you know, there's two guys. I imagine one of them is going to be Noah Fant. One of them is going to be Albert Okwuegbunam or Nick Vannett. I mean, they can interchange these guys. But maybe we could see the Broncos. I know it's not something we see normally in a Pat Shurmur offense, but I wonder if we could see a little bit of 13 personnel this upcoming season, where they do have three tight ends and they do have an emphasis on running the football out of 13 personnel. That's one running back, three tight ends, for those of you that don't know what 13 personnel means. That to me is the big question. And Broncos country, I want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? How can the Denver Broncos utilize five tight end-like players in the 2020 NFL season? But Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. Zach, Patrick, and I, we're going to react to the Broncos 53-man roster on the defensive side of the ball. Some of the amazing storylines that are coming out of Dove Valley with the defense overall for Denver, we're going to touch on here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys to check out the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there, NFL Game Pass. And this season, you can get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays. And you can see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, all the crazy catches, all the wild comebacks, and the breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place that you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. You can become a smarter football fan. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. You can learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, who just got a big payday, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Talking about the Broncos 53-man roster, focusing on the defensive side of the ball now here for this Broncos roster. Gentlemen, you know, like I said, we talked about some of the surprises. I don't think any of us expected Todd Davis to be cut. We didn't expect the Broncos on Saturday to release Devontae Bosby, but it's kind of shifted the way that this Broncos defensive identity will be, at least early on here in 2020. So let's start off with cornerback, and really the Broncos, they're keeping six players at that position. They're keeping AJ Boye, Devontae Harris. They've also got Michael Ojemudia, Duke Dawson, and then in the nickel, Bryce Callahan and Asang Bassey. Let's talk about that for a moment, folks, before we get to the rest of the defensive players. But Asang Bassey is the 16th player in the last 17 years for this Broncos team that has made the active roster. And considering no preseason tape, no ability to really showcase outside of practice, it must speak volumes to where Asang Bassey is at as a football player and what he can replicate. And there was one thing that stood out to me on Saturday when John Elway and Vic Fangio met with the media after the cuts become official, is that they said that, Vic Fangio said it, that he and the staff, they looked at Asang Bassey in the same way as they looked at Bryce Callahan when Bryce Callahan was an undrafted player as well. They said they reminded him a lot of Callahan. And so now essentially you're putting him in that role behind Callahan where he's going to learn from him. What are your thoughts on Bassey? Obviously, we've been on the Bassey bus for quite some time here, folks. I mean, if you've been listening to Lockdown Broncos, you've been following our work at profootballnetwork.com/Broncos. We have been chugging along with the Bassey bus, and that, we've been on board with that as well. So, Zach, you know, let's start things off with you, my friend. You know, what were your thoughts initially on Bassey making the 53-man roster?
Well, I absolutely loved it. You know, he's a guy that when the Broncos were on the board to pick Tuska and Cleveland, I was hoping they'd pick Bassey, and they got lucky and got him as an undrafted free agent instead. But he's fantastic. I think I wouldn't have gone as far as a Bryce Callahan, you know, comparison coming out of college, because, you know, he's a seventh round guy. But you can definitely see it now, kind of an undersized slot cornerback who's got great coverage ability, great instincts, knows where the ball is, has a real nose for the ball. So I think, yeah, I definitely see that parallel. And I think he's going to be awesome on the Broncos this year, being that slot cornerback, probably working behind Bryce Callahan in that role. Maybe he should honestly see the field quite a bit in dime, unless they have Duke Dawson over him, which they might early on. But with how fast this guy rose through camp, like you're saying, without, as many practices as he normally have and without preseason games, it's really, really impressive. And so I think he'll pass Duke Dawson up before long if he hasn't already. And it's just so impressive to me that he was able to make the final roster given, everything that happened this offseason. I thought that Broncos streak of 16 out of 17 was definitely going to come to an end this year. The last thing I would like to say about the cornerback room, though, is I am a little concerned about the lack of depth at boundary corner. You know, you've only got six guys. You've got your two starters, Bouye and Ojemudia, there on the outside. Callahan, of course, in the slot. And then behind them, your only like true outside cornerback is Devontae Harris, who was up and down last year. Getting rid of Yadam, getting rid of Bowsby, you don't have as many people to turn to if Devontae Harris struggles or if Ojemudia struggles or if some of these guys go down with injury. So that's my one concern. But overall, love that Bassey made it and love the talent here.
And to touch on that real quick, Zach, the Broncos actually do have two potential players that could be boundary depth. They, like we said, they did bring back Devontae Bowsby. He's on the practice squad, likely going to be tagged with that veteran protected designation there. And then they also got Kevin Tolliver off of waivers from the Chicago Bears. The Broncos have added a former player that's been in Vic Fangio's system. Now he rounds out the Broncos' 16th spot on the practice squad. And there might be a tie in there at some point. So they do have, and if I'm not mistaken, some of the new practice squad rules designate that you can select two players that you can bring up from practice squad to the active roster and then place back on the practice squad without having to cut or waive them. So there's two designated spots there from what I read on the NFL memo website there. So obviously on that too, Patrick, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so let me get this straight. There's an undrafted free agent rookie who is a undersized corner that can play slot, has a good football IQ, good coverage skills, and beat out a veteran for a roster spot. I don't know where we've seen this before. It sounds pretty familiar. It might be from Chris Harris Jr. When he beat out Cassius Vaughn for a roster spot back then. And boy, did he ever make the impact on the Denver Broncos defense.
You really threw it back to the Cassius Vaughn. That was a loaded roster too at quarterback.
That was a good team. It was a good team. It was a good secondary. And the fact that Chris Harris, who, like Bassey, undersized, good coverage, you know, a scrappy guy, the fact that he was able to come in and earn that roster spot, you know, we all saw the writing on the wall when Yadam was traded. We saw that Bassey was going to be on this team one way or another. I think that it's amazing. You know, he's not the perfect prospect. You know, he's got some flaws, and I'm sure that Vic will find a way to work those kinks out. But saying comparing him to Callahan isn't so far-fetched. I mean, Callahan is a guy, he came from Rice. So, you know, he's coming from a football conference where passing rules and secondaries are just kind of meh. But the fact that he was able to help Bryce Callahan in his career and turn him into one of the best slot defenders in the NFL, it is a good sign for Bassey in this Denver defense, because this is a defense that really relies on those slot guys to cover the flats well, to kind of be up near the line of scrimmage more, and get in those passing lanes. So if he can produce well, you know, and like you said, Zach, you know, we're probably going to see him a lot in dime, and that's going to be fine, because that's where the passing defense comes into hand. So I love the fact that Bassey made the roster. It's kind of this Denver tradition now, man. Like 16 out of 17 years, it's a Denver thing. If it's not Chris Harris Jr., if it's not Shaq Barrett, I was saying Bassey now. And it's exciting. It's super. And I can't forget Philip Lindsay, because he went to Colorado and he's from Colorado. So we can't forget him. But it's really exciting to just see another guy earn a roster spot on an NFL team, and a guy who really fits into this system well when he's put in that position.
And to that last point Patrick was making, I really think it's valuable to have a streak like this, because when you're an undrafted free agent, one, it's going to make you more likely to want to sign with the Broncos. That helps accumulate talent. And two, it breeds this culture of competition that, hey, no one's job is safe. This Devontae Bousquet guy, everyone thought he was going to be starting. Nope, we cut him, gave the job to an undrafted free agent instead. You know, I think it's just going to further that competition throughout the roster and make everyone compete that much harder for their roster spot if they are already in possession of one, or to earn one if they're an undrafted free agent, because it seems like you've got a real shot and you're not just going to be a camp body.
Oh, yeah. Let's take a look at the rest of the Broncos defense, too, on the 53-man roster. We'll take a look at outside linebacker Von Miller, Malik Reed, Bradley Chubb, Jeremiah Tauchu, and we're expecting to see them roll on Monday against the Tennessee Titans. I know the Broncos may or may not put Bradley Chubb on a pitch count week one this upcoming Monday, so that's going to be something to keep an eye on for guys like Malik Reed, Jeremiah Tauchu as well. Defensive line-wise, the Broncos rolling six deep as we had projected. Shelby Harris, Draymond Jones, Mike Purcell, McTelvin Najim, Jarrell Casey, and DeMarcus Walker. DeMarcus Walker made the team, and that was really the writing on the wall when they traded away Christian Covington for Austin Calitro last Friday. And so that's going to bring us to the linebacker position. Josie Jewell now takes over as the Mike backer for this Broncos defense. Alexander Johnson stays at will. Joe Jones made the roster. Mark Barron in passing situations and sub packages. And then Austin Calitro as well. And then this is where we're going to get to some of the concern about depth overall here. Safety position, the Broncos just rolling with three on the active roster. Like we mentioned too, Michael Ojemudia, Duke Dawson are those hybrid cornerback safety type players that could step into safety if in fact they needed to. So there's Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, and then Trey Marshall, with Michael Ojemudia, Duke Dawson being those flex players. And we're going to talk about some of the concerns too of our depth. We're also going to get to the practice squad coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, folks, we got to tell you guys about the other sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar. And Built Bar is back. They are better than ever, and they're the best tasting protein bar ever. They have 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones featuring caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and even apple almond crisp. Or you can go with old reliable like the peanut butter brownie or even the banana bread one. That one's a clutch one as well, alongside toffee almond, and allows you to indulge in a delicious treat too, because guess what, folks? The Built Bars, they are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft. They are easy to chew, and they're great for those who are health conscious like myself. It allows me to lose or maintain weight while also indulging in a delicious treat. So I can cheat. I can have a sweet meal as well outside of my workouts and my chicken and rice. I can have a dessert with a Built Bar, because the bars, they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're great for any kind of diet that you may be on. And right now, you can receive a free cooler with purchase today while supplies last by going to builtbar.com and using promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. Rounding out the Denver Broncos final roster, we went through the offense, went through the defense. Zach Seegers, Patrick Keoty, myself, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, or our good friends over there at Spotify. Make sure you guys hit that subscribe or follow button today for daily exclusive content of the Denver Broncos here, courtesy Lockdown Broncos Podcast. But gentlemen, let's talk about the practice squad now. The 16 spots are all set. Now, we're just awaiting the vet protected designation terms from the Broncos. We'll likely find that out at some point today. Also, the Broncos will be releasing their depth chart today officially, so we're going to react to that on tomorrow's episode, Lockdown Broncos. But to round out the practice squad, there's Brett Rypien at quarterback, Devontae Bosby at cornerback, veteran defensive lineman Deshaun Williams has made it on the defensive line there. Derek Tuska, who needs a little bit more seasoning, according to Coach Fangio, he's there. And then the Broncos carrying two wide receivers, downtown Fred Brown and Trinity Benson, the speed that he has as well. They really like them in camp, and they're lucky to keep them there. Juwan Winfrey had a chance to stay on the Broncos practice squad, but he decided to go elsewhere, and I think the writing was on the wall in terms of that there. At the safety position, the Broncos carrying Elijah Holder, PJ Locke, two great scheme fits that the Broncos really liked, but obviously you can only carry a certain amount of players on the active roster. Jeremy Cox at fullback, Darren Paulo at offensive tackle, Levante Bellamy's back at the running back position, Quinn Bailey, Patrick Morris, Jake Rogers, Josh Watson, and Kevin Tolliver, cornerback from the Chicago Bears, coming over. That rounds out the Broncos' 16th spot on the practice squad. Gentlemen, what are your thoughts on the practice squad before we get into some of the storylines ahead of week one?
I think the talent there is really, really great. You know, this Broncos team, they've gone really young on the roster, and I think they're a very deep team, and that young talent and depth stretches all the way down onto the practice squad. You know, you look at guys like Brett Rypien, Levante Bellamy, Derek Tuska, Josh Watson, Elijah Holder, PJ Locke, not to do the word salad thing, but there's so many, Devontae Bowsby, of course, we already talked about. There's so many guys, Jake Rogers even too, that might not contribute this year, but should contribute in the future. They might be on a Broncos final roster in the future. They could even be starting somewhere down the road in the future. And to have that much talent on a practice squad that's normally just scout team guys, I think it's really impressive. And I just think, you know, Broncos fans should be excited, because when you have so much young talent all throughout, you know, from top to bottom, this team's not just going to be good in 2020. You know, 2020 should be the floor of their success as this youth continues to develop and grow. And these practice squad guys like a Derek Tuska should be a rotational pass rusher by next season. So I just think the ability to reload and maintain that talent is so valuable, and the Broncos should be able to do that for a while.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's some really key names on here that stand out as those types of like future contributors, especially Tuska. I mean, we knew that he was going to need a little more work. He was going to need a little more time. That's why they invested the draft pick in him, to make sure that they got him when they did. You know, he just needs to get bigger and stronger, as Fangio said, and get used to playing in the NFL. He should be a rotational pass rusher by next season, and I can't wait to see that. But you know, having Bowsby on the practice squad, that's huge, because like you said, Zach, cornerback is going to be a position that is a little scary, and safety is going to be another position that's a little scary. So having Elijah Holder on there, having PJ Locke on there, having Bowsby on there, and Kevin Tolliver now, it feels a little bit safer. So this is a practice squad that is full of names that the Broncos can bring in and plug in, and they can play well coming into it. Tuska's going to be a guy that's going to be a year out. Bellamy's going to be a guy that's going to be a year out. Locke might even be one of those guys that's a year out. But just having the offensive line depth that's on there, the secondary depth, and then these kind of other these other skill guys, it makes me feel pretty good about the direction that the team is going.
One Bronco that the team was hoping to get back on the practice squad was Justin Hollins, and that's not going to happen because the Los Angeles Rams placed a waiver claim on him, and so now he's going to be a Ram, reuniting with former Broncos outside linebacker coach Brandon Staley down there in Los Angeles. And watch Justin Hollins really just turn it on, right? You know, it may not be exactly in 2020, but he could end up being a player for LA that could all of a sudden come out of nowhere, and everyone's going to be like, hey, where did this guy come from? And I just think where the Broncos' depth at is right now at outside backer, it sucks you lose a guy like him. The Broncos were hoping to get him back, but obviously happy for a guy like Justin Hollins, who we had hoped would find a role here, but obviously it's a numbers game for Denver.
Yeah, and losing Justin Hollins does, it really is hard to see him go, because he was going to be a guy that could provide that versatility as an inside or an outside backer in case something with Joe Jones didn't work out, or Kalitro didn't work out, or even Josie Jewell. So this, it sucks to lose a guy who has experience and is still young, but he's going home to Brandon Staley, and he'll be in LA. So I wish him nothing but the best. I absolutely loved him, and go Ducks.
Same here. Wishing Hollins the best for sure. It sucks because he was such a raw guy. You know, there's so much untapped potential there. And it sucks the Broncos won't get to see any of it. You know, he got a year plus of coaching from them, and that'll be just about all they get in return from him. You know, he's off to LA, where I think he should thrive under Brandon Staley if he gets those opportunities. But yeah, it sucks for the Broncos. You know, it makes you kind of question some of their moves at linebacker following the Todd Davis and Justin Sternad injuries. You know, like, what's Mark Barron really giving you that Justin Hollins isn't? And, you know, there's maybe he's giving you a little more for 2020, but look at 2021 and 2022 and even 2023, I think, when you also would have had Hollins under contract, or I guess you wouldn't have. But nonetheless, I that one seems a little troubling to me. I would have liked to keep Hollins. I guess they thought they could sneak him onto the practice squad, and that was one case where they did not get lucky.
Yeah, he's got a regular season film out there. So there's a big reason why that wasn't the case for Hollins. You know, obviously wishing him the best in LA. But gentlemen, let's talk about a big storyline, because 7 days from now, all of us, we're going to be on here reacting to the outcome of Monday Night Football, because the Broncos and Titans are 7 days away from kickoff at Empower Field at Mile High. But there's an added wild card element now to this game that we didn't previously get to talk about. And now Jadeveon Clowney is a Tennessee Titan, and the Broncos will be taking him on. Now, gentlemen, I want to get your thoughts, but overall for me, I think early on coming into this matchup, I'm not as concerned as I think I normally would have been if this was a move that was going to happen for the Titans, let's say earlier on in the offseason back to free agency, because Jadeveon Clowney has not practiced with any team so far this offseason throughout any camp. Now, obviously this week he will get a chance to practice some, but I don't know if he's going to be the same impactful Jadeveon Clowney on Monday when the Broncos play in terms of how he'd normally be, because of the fact that he has not practiced at all this entire offseason, and who knows where his conditioning is at. Wanted to get your quick thoughts on Jadeveon Clowney to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I think that's a big concern. You know, he's only going to be with the team for a week. And also, I'm not that worried about it because he's a good, not great pass rusher, or even edge rusher, edge defender, whatever you want to call it. He's really good in the run game, fine in the pass game. He's never had double-digit sacks. He's like I'm more concerned about playing Joey Bosa in the Chargers, or like Frank Clark, Chris Jones in the Chiefs, or, you know, enter pass rusher. Max Crosby with the Raiders is like not as good as Jadeveon Clowney, but I don't think the gap there is the Grand Canyon. So it just doesn't worry that much, doesn't worry me that much, especially when you're considering that Clowney is a guy that, I hate to say it, but he's had conditioning and work ethic question marks all throughout his career. That's the reason it took him so long. It took him from March until August, or I guess September actually, to find a team to sign with. He's a more talented player than that. But with all these questions surrounding him and the inability of teams to do these medical checkups because of COVID and whatnot, made him fall down the boards, or just, you know, fall throughout free agency. So it just doesn't worry me all that much. I think it's a huge question as to whether or not he's in football shape. I am definitely expecting him to be on a snap count for that week one game. So like, if there's a time to catch Jadeveon Clowney, now's the time.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's getting him for an entire season is, you know, that's huge for the Titans. But as far as week one is concerned, I'm not too worried about it. This is a guy that, you know, can be washed out of a play pretty easily. And, you know, while he's had a little bit of impact here and there, the play is just sporadic. Like Zach said, I'm not entirely worried about it for the Broncos. You know, Jarrell Casey has been helping with, you know, helping the team key in on things on the defensive scheme and the offensive scheme and stuff like that. So I'm not too worried about it.
Well, it's going to be a fun one, folks, because we are 7 days away from kickoff. And I tell you what, Zach, Patrick, and myself, we are very excited. You can catch us here all year long, Locked On Broncos, breaking down some of the action coming out of Dove Valley, recapping every single game, breaking it down from an X's and O's standpoint. You can't get this type of breakdown anywhere else except the Locked On Broncos podcast. In the meantime, check out Zach and Patrick's work over there, profootballnetwork.com/Broncos. They do a phenomenal job. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Cody Rourke, your host of Locked On Broncos. Zach, Patrick, and myself, we will be back tomorrow to break down the official depth chart for the Denver Broncos.